This morning is to listen to Edom, who's getting herself ready by putting her headphones on. And we're going to talk about how do you keep a marriage strong when one person changes. And we've had some questions already come in. You can always email on studio@westkentradio.co.uk. So good morning to Lissy. You were greeted by a torrential storm on the way up, weren't you?
I really was, and I had just put the washing out, John, so I was a bit miffed, really. Anyway, wet washing when I get home. Nice to be here, as always.
So how do you keep a marriage strong? Let's try the first question, shall we?
Well, you're asking me, and I have to confess, John, that I've never been married. And I have been asked, I always want to rush with that a few times, but I've never been married. So I just know how you keep relationships going.
How do you keep relationships going?
Yeah, because a lot of people aren't necessarily married anyway, are they? So,
no.
Yeah. And, so actually, perhaps we should also ask you, because you're married.
I'm a serial.
No, you've been married twice, John. You've been married twice. So what's your secret?
I know. We're going to try and keep you clean. I think being myself.
That would be a first if we kept it clean, actually.
I don't... when you're growing up, you always try and put on a pretense on somebody you're not. And then that can be a barrier. And when I was going out with my first wife, she says, "You're just the wall of jokes. I don't know you." So the jokes was my defence mechanism.
Yeah.
So we had to break that wall down. It didn't stop me telling jokes. as my granddaughter will testify that last night, we tell a few jokes, and if she likes them, she groans. If she doesn't like them, she makes the most terrible face. It's great fun.
What was the best joke last night, then?
The best joke last night is, what do we have? What does Andy Murray drink for breakfast?
I don't know, John. What does Andy Murray drink for breakfast?
Juice. And I think we'll stop there.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the way to keep relationships going is compromise, very much compromise. You've got to learn to live with somebody else. It's very interesting you're saying as well about being yourself, because that's really hard. You know, when people start a relationship by telling fibs, eventually they will unfold. It's like somebody saying to me once when I was helping them with their dating profile, they wanted me to put in that they were age 63, and I said, "Oh, come on, you know, two taps with my finger on the computer and I find out you're 67. So why are you start by telling people you're 63 when you're not? It's too quick to find out." We all have to be very transparent these days, because it's all far too easy to find out eventually where the fibs are. And I think being yourself is a really key thing. Don't be too much of yourself, because you've still got to be a bit of a tease and tantalise. I mean, if being yourself is you know, passing wind when you're on your own, that's not something that will keep a relationship going, is it? But, so we have had three emails in from listeners with questions. Not questions so much as these are their problems. So I thought we could discuss them. You know, what changes within a marriage? Should we do this now?
Well, we'll do the first one now.
Yeah, let's do the first one now. So this is Judy from Tunbridge, and she wrote in to say, "My husband retired earlier this year." I think there's a lot of women out there, John, will identify with this. "My husband retired earlier this year. Now he's at home most of the day, and it's curtailing my life. I used to go out and have coffee or lunch with my friends. I like to play tennis, and also there's my volunteer work, because I drive the elderly NHS patients to hospital. Now I always have to make sure I'm around to cook my husband's lunch, and it means I can't see my friends and I have to do my volunteer work around him."
My first reaction to that is put him on a cookery course. when I used to skive off school, I used to cook my own lunch. And then my wife said to my mum, "Well, thank you for teaching John to cook. I didn't know he could cook. If I'd known he could cook, he'd have cooked for us." And I said, "Why do you think I never said anything?" Yeah, in these days, sitting around doing nothing when you're retired is not the thing to do. There are plenty of things he could get interested in. whether it's bowls, whether it's University of Third Age or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got to make a life and not ruin Judy's.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm giving the advice here.
I know, but I'm nodding, as you can see, because I totally agree. I mean, there is an old saying, which is, I married him for dinner, not for lunch. As you say, there are so many things he should be doing. Why isn't he out playing golf? You know, I mean, they talk about golf widows, but I remember my long-term relationship. I was never more delighted than I could half shut my eyes and see Seve Ballesteros going out the door for the day. You know, it was, it's you know, competitions, golf, bowls, anything that he can get invigorated with. Maybe he should join Judy in terms of volunteering. Yeah. If they were a two-car family, they could do volunteering as well, or he could do volunteering of another sort. But, you know, sitting on your backside doing nothing is a recipe for bad health anyway. And if it comes to it and he can't cook his own lunch, why doesn't she just put the ingredients out? And, you know, you can buy this food that's ready ingredient made now, that you just literally put together yourself.
Don't make it too easy for him.
No, okay. But, you know, heating up some soup, what's wrong with that?
I think the difficult thing for Judy is, how does she address this?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, well, she's got to do it somehow. She's compromising way too much at the moment. And the fact that she's running round him is making a bed for herself, really, isn't it?
It isn't. And it's going to lead to more friction.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to get worse.
Going back to his compromise and saying, OK, you've had your working life. I've still got my life. What are you going to do now? Build a model railway, come around and help me with mine, whatever, you know.
Yeah. But she's got to stop making compromises. She's got to talk to him about it. As you say, this is just a worm in their marriage. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse, because if you compromise too much and you resent it, that resentment begins to unpick your marriage. And that's what they've got to get over.
Yeah, I know of one couple who haven't gone through the same thing. They're not local, but he had a high-powered job in the city. And he enjoys yachting, but he will travel down to the south coast to go yachting, and then something happened with COVID and everything like that. It couldn't happen. So the wife's just going to be fed up. He's under her feet all day. He's not got himself motivated. Mm. And you can see the friction growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what my father did when he retired? Because he ran a huge... He managed teams, large teams of people, and he just switched managing large teams of people to managing his family. And he would frog march us around the place and point at this and that and the other, and suddenly, you know, we're all daddy's workforce. It was just terrible, really.
Yeah, I'm retired. I have an active retirement. I'm a volunteer here, so that takes about a day a week.
I suppose they don't pay you tons, John.
It could be tons of something. I volunteer at a bereavement group and at a local specialist college, and enjoy going out days. And sometimes I just sitting down and watching the cricket. I do my share of the housework, you know. I say that needs picking up, that needs. I think I'll stop there. Here's Kiki D and Amorous. Lovely touch of Kikidi there with Amaroos. You're listening to West Kent Today, and my guest this morning is Adelissa Needham, and we're talking about how to keep a relationship strong when one person changes or circumstances changing. Hopefully we dealt with Judy's question. If Judy's listening, if she could actually get in touch and say, that was rubbish, or thank you very much for the advice. Somebody's got a squeaky chair this morning. I wonder if you can hear it.
Is it me? It's me, squeaky, squeaky.
Yes, we got Ashabar's chair squeaking as well. We'll get some 3-in-1 oil or something. WD-40. Other brands are available.
It's not your joints, then?
No, I don't smoke them anymore. I never smoke. Sorry.
Do what your granddaughter does now and groan?
Groan, yes. I can be a grown man, yes. OK, let's begin the next question.
Dear, he's here all day, folks.
OK, Liz, so what's the next email you had?
Well, this is Mark from Tunbridge Wells. You might have seen in the news recently that Pierce Brosnan's wife put on 70 pounds. which is equivalent to 4 to 5 stone, I think. It's quite a lot. And she's still a very stunning-looking woman, but I think she might have lost it now. But anyway, Mark is saying from Tunbridge Wells is, when I married my wife, she was a very slim 10 stone. Over the 7 years of our marriage, she has put on so much weight, she now weighs nearly 16 stone, and she doesn't seem to care about it, either for her health or whether or not I find her attractive. I still love my wife, but in honest truth, I really don't fancy her at the moment. And that's kind of sad, because
it's a difficult one.
Yeah, sexual attraction's very important in a relationship.
Has she been eating more, and when did it start, is one of the questions that I think an expert would ask. You know, was there something that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't add that bit in, because I just took a bit out of the out of the email. But the other bit was that, in fact, she has been... they have got 3 children, and every time she's had children, she's put on weight. And it is awful, because women do feel under pressure to lose weight every time they you know, to lose that baby weight. But, you know, 16 stone from 10 stone in 7 years is a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think my response to that is, John, that he needs... You can't... It's a difficult thing, because if you make somebody feel bad about it, food becomes a really big issue, doesn't it? But from the health point of view, that's worrying, and I think that's the way he should approach it. I think he should talk to her about her health and do something about it together.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be eating a lot of not very good foods to be putting on that kind of weight, and I would say things, sugary foods, etc. You know, that's not healthy, and I think that he needs to say, let's do this together. Yeah. Let's together... You know, clean up our diets. Maybe they're drinking too much. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe John might be more, Mark, sorry, might be physically more active than his wife is.
And the danger of being 16 stone, of course, is that the health risk of diabetes and things like that. So it would be worth going to the doctors, getting medical advice, and... At that sort of weight, a nutritionist may well be available as well, just to give guidance. After having 3 children, did she feel then she was no longer attractive, no longer something? She started worrying eating. We don't know, but there must be a fundamental cause.
Yes, yeah. I've worked on a lot of diet shows and television a lot, and in fact I'm working with somebody at the moment who's quite a expert in dietary. I don't know if you ever watched a series called Obese, A Year to Save Your Life, with Jesse Pavelka. I'm working with him at the moment, and he said in a chat with me the other day that it was great to help people to lose weight, and there's a physical way you deal with that. But the underlying mental issue is what you also have to deal with. What's the emotional mental issue that's going on with the overeating? Because it sounds like Mark's wife is also overeating. So does she just not feel loved? Is there something emotional going on there? Does she feel like, you know, that her focus is now on our children and not on her husband? Because, you know, you've still got to keep your focus on your marriage.
And, of course, maybe bereavements in the family as well. There's a sense of loss. Or so many factors.
Yeah.
I was a great comfort eater, particularly during lockdown. The wife had died. You know, I got through packets of biscuits. I knew it wasn't good for me. I've cut down on the biscuits. I only eat a packet a day now.
Well, there's one thing I say in my book about the whole thing about lockdown, is that something people should be aware of. But a lot of single people particularly spent a lot of time on their own. They didn't get hugs. When you don't get a hug, your body doesn't release oxytocin. And oxytocin is also an appetite control hormone. Yeah. So people did put on weight a little bit because of that as well. But I do think that Mark should approach his wife with this as a health issue, and something that she's got to look into.
The easiest way, and there's no easy way, is just to express his concern for her. And so, as you said, he loves her.
Yeah.
To tell her that, I don't know the last time he told her that, and he said, but I am concerned about your health. Mm. And he might be concerned about his as well. Shall we go to the doctors together?
Yeah.
Come at it from a position of love.
Yeah.
And just say, I want to help. What can we do? Because she can't be happy. She really can't, John. No. I mean, you know, nobody, you know, you know, that's quite a lot of weight.
And it tires you out. You don't. You get lethargic. You don't do anything. Everything's an effort. It almost borders on depression.
Yeah.
As well. I'm not a medical expert, folks, but some of these things I've been through.
Yeah.
But what we're saying, Mark, is keep telling her you love her. She may not be attractive at the moment to you, but you need to look beyond that and help her.
Yeah. Yep.
How does that sound?
That sounds really good. Oh. I think we nailed that one.
Right, okay, then we'll have a break. And you're listening to West Kent Today, 95.5, 106.7 FM, online, on your smart speaker, and we've been waving umbrellas around for semaphore this morning, so you can pick us up anywhere. With me is Dylan Eden. We're talking about how to keep relationships strong when a person changes. We had Judy, who was coping with her husband, who's retired, and then we just had Mark, who's really loves his wife, but she's gone up from 10 stone to 16 stone, and he's very concerned for her. So we've got another one now, haven't we?
Yeah, this is Susie from Sevenoaks, and I really identify with this because I had a relationship breakup about 6 months ago for the same reason, and that person and I had known each other for 30 years, so it's really quite sad. But anyway, what Susie is saying is that... She wrote to me to say, I can't stand my husband's politics anymore. We argue such a lot, and it's really unpleasant. It's dividing us. When we met, we agreed on everything. We both voted Conservative and had the same views on life and politics. Now he just seems to be, well, a conspiracy theorist is what she said here. So they've really, you know, it sounds as though it's kind of got unpleasant between them because of their dividing views, which I can quite understand, as I said, because I think my friend and I probably will... I doubt we'll ever speak again, to be honest. It was that unpleasant. And you try for it not to be, but it is. I really admire it when I listen to people who can disagree agreeably. And I think that's the key, is to learn to be able to disagree agreeably. But that's a really tough one, because people get very emotional about their points of view, don't they? And I think my advice to Susie would be, rather than trying to convince her husband of her point of view, is to just ask questions. Yeah. You ask questions about somebody else's point of view. You ask them why they think the way they do, and you just take it on board, because you will never, no matter what you say, you will never be able to convince somebody else, and you just end up in a very ugly place. So if you can just ask questions about why they think the way they do, where they got their information from, would they ever consider this, or you know, that's a better way of dealing with things. Yeah. Somehow
conspiracy theories is a very difficult area, because people get paranoid and they realize everybody's actually out to get them anyway. But you can ask the questions, yes, but if you want to stay together, it's admitting we've both got different views. Let's not become an issue between us. We don't have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Politics can divide. You know the definition of a political joke?
What?
They get elected. I had the microphone up for that one, yes.
I'm sorry, I hope I didn't laugh too loud in the mic. I mean, shocked you.
I have to remember that all politicians are human, and it's difficult to tell the difference between the parties these days anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's getting... There are so many problems that they say they can solve, and we know darn well they can't. I'll be blunt here that... you know, I don't believe anything they say.
No, I don't.
But I admire them for saying they're going to try something. My wife and I have different political views. She's a member of a political party. My profession or calling, I always try to remain neutral. What I voted at the ballot box, wherever I was my decision.
Yeah.
And it still is.
Mm.
I would rather vote for the person than for a party.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're so right, John, that within a marriage, you best decide that you don't... If you can't agree to disagree agreeably, then don't bring up the subjects. Don't taunt each other. Don't mention things. You know, you read your newspaper, you find your information, you read whatever you... But don't bring it up to the other person if you know that they're... politics are very different from yours. Just don't do it.
Not worth the hassle and the argument.
Yeah.
You just have to respect each person as a person in their own right, with their own views.
And it's the quickest way, not just to, in relationships, to lose the love for each other in a way, but it's also the quickest way to lose friends as well.
Mm.
Just don't go there. Best thing. I have a friend whose entire policy through life, and I'm not like this, but his entire policy with life and with everybody is a bit like you, John. He says I don't discuss my politics or my thinking with anybody. I will never be able to convince them, so I just don't do it. I don't go there. I think you have to be like that in a marriage if your other half thinks differently.
The last time I got really political was before I could vote. So we're going back a long time now, and this was it was in 1970. And I like listening to the radio. And there was a radio station off the coast called Radio North Sea International. And the Labour government decided to jam it.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
So there was a campaign to vote Conservative. It changed its name to Radio Caroline for the fortnight before the election. Conservatives won. The jamming didn't stop. But when it did, when the ship moved back over towards Holland... before that, I was in my parents were staunch Labour supporters at the time, and they wanted me to help stuff envelopes. This must have been the 1966 election for the Labour candidate, and I had my transistor radio, and I was listening to Radio Caroline, and the candidate came in and says, "You can turn that off. We're going to ban those stations." And I said, "Well, you can stuff your own envelopes in." I went home. That's my political involvement, folks. We're going to come back with our last question after we've got fizz. You're listening to West Kent Today here on West Kent Radio, and with me is Delissa Mills. We've been talking about trying to keep relationships going in difficult circumstances, and our fourth question this morning we're going to deal with is a really sensitive issue. And we're going to spend some serious time talking about it. So far away.
Well, I'll tell you what, this didn't come to me as an email. It was actually somebody said this to me, that it's a lady called Jenny from Morling. Did you say it's Morling or Malling?
Morling.
Morling. Whose husband has dementia. And she feels that her marriage is over. She's also obviously exhausted and tired and finding it very difficult to cope, John. I mean,
did she give her age or anything like that?
She's early 60s. I know her, and her husband's late 60s, so
it's a difficult time, and I've come across this quite often where they say this person isn't the person I married. Sometimes the person involved can become violent. I hope that's not the case here.
I've heard that too.
A complete change of personality. But there is help out there, and it's recognising the fact that you need help and shouldn't be frightened of asking for it.
Yeah.
I've got a number in front of me, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But
I say, John, that there's three people in the marriage now.
Yeah.
There's you, your husband, and the illness, and you can't manage both those things.
No.
Yourself, you need help.
And as the illness goes on, then able to do less for themselves. There's a friend of ours, he went into a home a few months ago. He had a lovely railway layout in his loft, which he built himself. It was beautifully constructed. And then his wife took him up into the attic to see it. And he says, "This is wonderful. Where did this come from?" Railways had been his hobby for his life. And then he gradually got worse and worse health wise, and he died a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
But that, you know, going into the home was a relief for her, because the home was lovely and looked after him, whereas she could no longer look after him. And he died peacefully.
Mm.
So the thing that's going to hit home here is that dementia is not going to be a long illness.
And it's not going to get better.
It's not going to get better, but there are things you can do to help yourself and to help your partner. And as things get worse, accept more officers' help.
Yeah.
Now, if he's still mobile and can get out, and she can take him out, there's the Tunbridge Dementia Friendly Community, which has various groups meeting all over Tunbridge and Morling.
Right.
And I think the nearest one to Morling itself is Snodland. but the email address is info@tunbridgedfc.org.uk. I've been down to the Dementia Cafe in Tunbridge and actually met my cousins. One of whom got dementia, and her brother was bringing her down.
Right.
And she'd been working in solicitors all her life, and suddenly her, you know, the mind had gone.
Oh, gosh.
Hadn't seen them for years. And I said, walked in, I said, oh, hello. And it took her half an hour in talking about memories that she could then put me in the family.
Yes, and to understand. And then she's probably forgotten again.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But that's part of the conversation, is finding out, is it short-term memory loss or is it long-term memory loss? Go get a photograph album out.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I think what you said, though, John, is very interesting and right, which is that other person, not the person who has dementia, but the other person, there's got to be help for both of them, but that one person's got to realise that they need help as well.
Yeah.
And if you can take that person who has dementia to a cafe for the morning or to a dementia meeting of some sort and leave them there for half the day where they can do art, mix with other people, do whatever, and then, you know, that gives you a break. That would give Jenny from Mulling some time to herself to go and get her energy back, to feel like a human being again. You know?
And have a word with friends and neighbours. Can you come and sit for an hour or two while I go and do some shopping? And that going shopping gives you a break, because you can go to a shop, do your shopping, have a cup of coffee before you come home. And neighbours and friends can be very, very useful.
Yes.
And are willing to be helpful. But I'll give that email address again, info@tunbridgedfc.org.uk. A phone number is 01732 360328. It's the phone number for a funeral director, Abbey Funeral Service. But if you ask for Tunbridge Dementia Friendly Community, there'll be there someone to help.
Yeah. So there is a lot of dementia charities actually out there.
Yes, and this group has had links with Alzheimer's UK and Dementia Services Kent. So there are good support and guideposts to where you can get help.
Yeah.
And
give yourself a break.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Jenny, because this is difficult. This is not what you planned. But this is something that's not going to last.
No.
If there's such a big age gap, as you say, then, you know, she needs to start planning for the future.
Mm.
And who knows, she might find happiness again.
Yes, exactly. 60 is not a great age. Younger than me.
And a lot younger than me. My Zimmer frame arrives at 1 o'clock to take me home.
But, you know, there is help out there, as you say, John, and she's got to tap into it, and it's really important. Another friend of mine whose husband has dementia was telling me that her stepdaughters came in and spent the day with him, and she went off and had a picnic with a friend, and she said, I felt just like a human being again.
Yeah. It's looking after yourself, because you are technically now a carer.
Yes.
And carers need to be cared for.
Yes. And actually, her doctor said to her, your husband has dementia, we now need to look after you.
Good for the doctor.
Yeah. Isn't that a really good way of putting it?
And I really hope that her surgery can provide that support through the community nurse or whatever to give her everything that she needs. Mm. It's going to be a difficult time. You know, there are times when he'll probably get up, walk around or want to get out, and he doesn't know where he is, which gets very, very frustrating. It'll be frustrating for Jenny.
Yeah.
It'll be frustrating for him. They can both warn to a frazzle. They just need to really get that help in place.
Yeah, it can be very frightening all round.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, lovely four questions this morning. They're very topical. Now, if you missed any of it, then it will be on our website to listen again later this afternoon. It'll be a condensed version because I should take out all the music and the adverts and the travel. So it'll be the four questions. And next time, we're going to be talking about...
loneliness. And I know that a lot of people will come forward with their, you know, problems that they have with loneliness. But what we're going to be aiming to do, John, is to provide some advice and some good positive thinking about how to deal with it. Because it's a growing epidemic, for want of a better way of putting it.
And it's quite common in towns, quite common in rural communities. And... again, we can signpost.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than just being at home on your own and saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to cope.
But people can also be lonely in a marriage as well. Be in a relationship and feel lonely.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, we're going up to the news with Kaylee and Marillion. Thank you, Delissa.
Thank you for having me, John. I love being here.
Great. And we'll see you next month when we talk about loneliness.